This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Game week 10 came down to hits and misses, with Vardy the target of desperate wishes to produce something on Monday night. Twitter was full of Vardy parties, but Leicester ended up being rather shite. Turns out Ademola Lookman was a better choice. Whilst Bruno continued to give voice to those who think he's the best in FPL, what about Son and Kane? But Mourinho is casting his boring spell. It was two blanks in two for the lead striker Patrick, whilst Riyad Mahrez bagged a hat-trick. Jota looks magic. With more madness, we ask, should we change tactic? Welcome to the 63rd episode of Triple Captain.
I think rhyming tactic with hat-trick was genius, but maybe tactics was the word you were looking for there.
Well, what do we call a 4-4-2? Is that a tactic or is that tactics?
I'd say tactics, but I'm just...
Or change tactic as in, oh yeah, maybe you're right, tactics, yeah.
Either way, it's a million times better than I would have made. Mine would have been a limerick at best. But yeah, how was it? Good game week?
It was a good game week. It was another green arrow for me. Shall I just dive straight in with my rundown?
Should we introduce ourselves? Because we always forget to introduce ourselves.
Of course we should, yes.
People should know who we are, but you know.
Do you want to do it, Rich?
It's good to reiterate. Yeah, so my name's Rich, TalkSport commentator, Radio X presenter. I've had a red arrow today, or this weekend rather, so that's rather sad. But I've been on a good run, so I'm not too downbeat. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Luke Jurdy.
Hello, everybody. I am Luke Jurdy, the one and only.
PL Shakespeare.
PL Shakespeare, as I'm known in the underground circles of FPL. We are Triple Captain. We're at Triple Captain 3 on all social media. And we are, of course, an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league with fun, with humour, with banter, and with skill.
Yes. All those things in one.
And of course, we are with producer Ben as well.
Yes, my role on this podcast is to make you feel better about your own game week.
Yes.
Another red arrow.
Oh, no. Another red arrow. Oh, God. Should we start with the good news then?
Please do.
Go on,
so we'll start with the good news. I got 60 points. I got that hallowed 60, which is basically my minimum target each week. So I was very happy with that.
Nice.
Grealish's bonus point is 3 bonus points. Just got me over the line to that 60 points. So I was really pleased. De Bruyne captaincy, obviously, we all know, worked out very well. He perhaps should have got more points than he did. He finished on 10, which gave me 20. Bruno Fernandes, who keeps producing. We'll perhaps talk a little bit about Bruno later as part of our captaincy choice chat with 10. And Grealish with 10. So the midfield were the producers this weekend, with the strikers doing nothing. Bamford, Kane and Adams all blanking. James Rodriguez blanking as well, but came so close to returns, didn't he? Did you watch the Everton game, Rich? I know you said you didn't watch too much football this weekend.
I was so busy on Saturday. I caught the last 20 minutes of the Everton game. But I listened to it on Five Live, and Clive Tildesley, friend of the podcast, was going absolutely mental.
I was listening to the same commentary, actually. It was TalkSport.
TalkSport. Yeah, not Five Live.
You know, your employers. It was them.
When we had a really big chat to Clive about how he was coming to TalkSport for the first time, and everyone had made him feel really welcome. Obviously not you, Rich.
That's always gone out of my mind. Yeah.
He was great, though, wasn't he, on the radio? He was brilliant. That's the first time I've heard him commentate on the radio, and I really enjoyed it. But, yeah, they wouldn't stop going on about how it was mad that it was 0-0, and... Will you go away? Go away.
Oh, it's very rude. I thought we were having a great conversation there.
I think he's talking to Daisy.
No, talking to my cat. Sorry.
Oh, the cat.
The cat. Yeah.
It sounded like a mad game.
Yeah, I was listening, and he was suddenly so excited. He was like, oh, my God, that is wonderful. James Rodriguez has scored. And I was like, yes, James has finally come in. And then, of course, it was disallowed. And then the next thing I know, it's James Rodriguez takes the corner. Somebody put it in the back of the net.
It was Richarlison, was it, I think?
I think it was Richarlison, yeah. And then, so I was like, oh, yes, assist. That got disallowed. And then, of course, later on, I watched a little bit of the second half once I got home. And, of course, later on, there was a ball in and Bamford put it into the back of the net, and that was disallowed.
Yeah.
So I think it was so unlucky. I mean, very unlucky all round this game week for certain players. Apart from that, Ben Chilwell coming in with another solid 8 points, but the rest all blanking. So only four players returned for me, but managed to get 60 points. So if you get that captaincy choice right, it just makes such a difference, doesn't it? And because of the low average, I've moved up about 60,000 places to just outside the top 100K now. I'm 105K. So
good going.
Hoping to enter that top 100K.
I was going to say, this is probably one of the lowest averages has been all season, right? 44. I think that number was a lot more regular last season, but this year it feels like there's been a lot of 60s and that sort of thing throughout the campaign. But like you said, strikers just haven't delivered this weekend, have they?
No, it's kind of gone back to last season's form, really, with the midfielders producing the goods. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see if that continues.
Yeah, I mean, you made a great shout with Chilwell, because I was so convinced that there was going to be goals galore in that Chelsea-Tottenham game. So, of course, it was flipping 0-0.
The thing is, as well, I think Lampard's almost taken a leaf out of Mourinho's book, the way he approaches these big games. It was a very similar thing when Chelsea played United. It just looked like both teams were more than happy to take the 0-0.
Just
and quite often the bigger teams do that, especially early on in the season, where, you know, 0-0 is an okay result for both teams. It's not going to make any dramatic changes, and you know, neither have lost, you know. And I think Mourinho's always approached big games like that and tries to nick them 1-0. But I mean, Chilwell for me is he just passed everything. He was doing really well stats wise. I've watched him a few times and he gets forward so much, and Chelsea are improving defensively. So I think he's right up there with the TAA and Robbo's from last season.
So was that just your team then, Luke? Just the four players scoring highly?
Yeah, only the four that returned. Yeah, but obviously they were all, three of them were double digit returns, and Chilwell got the 8. So
yeah,
made a good difference. And the rest got 2s, and Justin and Martinez obviously got the 1. Martinez has been so disappointing, hasn't he, last few weeks? I kind of wish I'd have gone with Fabianski now, but never mind. Yeah, what about you, Rich? How did you do?
Disappointing. 5 points below the average, 39 for me. I'm not too disheartened, because I think that the players that I've brought in over the past few weeks are good transfers for the coming fixtures. They just didn't quite click this week. Defence, disappointing. 6 points out of my 3 defenders and my goalkeeper, so that weren't idea. Kilman was randomly dropped by Wolves. Why was Kilman dropped? I had no understanding of that whatsoever. I think he came on for the final throws to get me a point. Anyway, yeah, Robertson got me 2. Balbuena got me 2. Son,
how
Ziyech.
Close was Robertson to a mega haul, by the way? Obviously, yeah. Liverpool conceded that 93rd minute penalty, which was controversial. Robertson had an assist disallowed for Mane's goal.
Yeah.
So he could have been on for that big 12-pointer again, couldn't he? That was a bad start to the game week, really, wasn't it? Well, disappointing start to the game week, I should say.
Yeah, disappointing start to the game week. And that was kind of set the tone for the rest of the game week, really, for me. Grealish got me a 10, which was quite helpful, as did Fernandez. And they were the only ones who delivered for me. Son got his clean sheet bonus in midfield. And Kane got me 4, but that's only because he was my captain. So, you know, it's been a pretty forgettable week, even the players on the bench. My substitute goalkeeper got an appearance, his first appearance of the season as well. Not in my team, but Bailey Peacock Farrell. What a baptism of fire that was. Manchester City, absolute hammering. felt sorry for him a little bit, but I don't think he'll be coming off my bench anytime soon. But yeah, so I just finished on a very, very disappointing 39 points, which might well be my worst score of the season. What about you, Ben?
39 points for me as well. Oh. And I took your advice from last week, and I've decided to play the game more sensibly. You know, less rash decisions, less hits. But it's just, like, I look around my team, and I'm really happy with Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Vardy up front. I put the captain's armband on Vardy. He got his assist, luckily, at the end, right at the end of the game. Surely you expect that Leicester are going to absolutely destroy Fulham, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, the bottom of the table. It's Gary Lineker's 60th birthday. Sure, they couldn't do it for Gary. You know what I mean?
It was a bizarre result, wasn't it?
Crazy. It's the week I brought in James Justin too.
Yeah, I mean, at least Vardy got his assist for those that captained him. But overall, it was a really quite a disappointing performance from him, wasn't it? I think the trouble is, Ben, you've got too much money up front now, so you're relying on Kane, Calvert-Lewin, and Vardy to almost bang each week to make that outlay worthwhile. Because it's at the expense of those midfielders that get more points for scoring goals and they get the clean sheet points as well.
What's happened this season? Because this season started off and Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Vardy were absolutely killing it. Basically, anyone who was on a penalty, they were just absolutely raking up the points. We do need to talk about VAR at some point in this episode because, my God, it's beyond a joke now. And I'm not sure if you boys watch Monday Night Football, but the best conversation I've seen on VAR so far between Carra and Gary Neville. If you honestly go and watch it back if you can, it was a really, really good watch. Brilliant TV. Where are the penalties going, first of all? I mean, you know, obviously I'm talking about Villa last night. I'm talking, you know, the fact that VAR allowed Ollie Watkins to be offside rather than seeing the West Ham defender literally basically put his arms right round him, and then it was actually him who pushed his arm into the offside position. They're so obsessed with offside. This is what Carragher was saying last night. They're so obsessed with offside in VAR and drawing the lines, they missed the foul, the obvious foul in the run up to that. And all they're thinking about is the offside then, and it just, they've got tunnel vision with it. They're so obsessed on drawing these lines. But anyway, back to my team. It's just, I look at him, and the seven I've got up front, I've got Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Vardy. Then I've got Son, Rodriguez, Jota and Rashford. And it's, you know, you look at that and you go, fair play. Rashford is a bit of a differential to Bruno. That's obviously not working out at all, even though he's starting up front. I mean, I do feel like Rashford is about to... He's on decent form, isn't he, Rashford, Luke?
He's got an assist,
yeah,
isn't he?
He is. He's just not clinical enough to get your 20 goals a season that really you want. And he's not clinical enough with his final ball either to make up for it with assists if he doesn't produce the goals. And that is kind of evident really with Rashford. He's inconsistent. He causes teams a lot of problems, and when he's on it on his day, he's proven that he can be, you know, unplayable, like he was against Leipzig when he came on and scored that hat trick. But he's just not as good an option as Bruno Fernandes is. I mean, Bruno Fernandes is rapidly becoming the best option in FPL now, I think. When does he blank? He very, very rarely blanks, does he? I mean, did you see that stat that since his debut, he's got more goals and assists combined than anybody else in the league? He's ahead of Salah and ahead of Son and ahead of he's top. He's top of that. And
especially
for his price as well. You know, he started at 10.5, didn't he? Is that what you were going to say, Rich?
No, I was going to say that's even more impressive considering, like, you know, Liverpool won the Premier League. That just shows how important he is to Manchester United. If he wasn't at Manchester United, where on earth would you be? Like, without him in
your side? He didn't have his best game. And I mean, it's lucky that you don't miss out on bonus points or miss out on points for misplaced passes, because he gives the ball away. I think his pass completion is about 70% since he joined.
But you can appreciate
hilarious.
That. You
can... Yeah, yeah. But I mean, of course, I don't mind, because he's constantly trying to play people in and get stuff going. Particularly in that United team, it needs somebody doing that. It was funny because the commentator, he gave the ball away against Southampton. The commentator went, uncharacteristic of Bruno Fernandes there. And I'm thinking, it's not uncharacteristic. He gives the ball away more than anybody else. But when his passes that, well, you know, at least one or two a game, they work out and create these brilliant chances. And how good was Cavani, the racist? I mean, he was so good, wasn't he?
Is that his new name?
Well, I mean, what an idiot doing that. I don't know the context, but basically, obviously, he put in his brilliant performance, scored two goals, absolute hero, and just proving that killer striker's instinct that United need. And then he replied to somebody on his Instagram story and used the same word that Luis Suarez used to describe Patrice Evra. He was calling a friend he was responding to. Apparently they've got that relationship, blah blah blah. I don't know. In the context of it, he obviously didn't know, or he, I mean, how can you not know? I don't know. But he thought he wasn't doing anything wrong, but still it's irresponsible. And he'll probably get banned for a few games for doing it, I'd imagine.
I mean, just avoid that word in general is probably good advice, you know, even if you're using it in a friendly environment. And as a public figure, he should know better than that, especially an experienced striker.
Yeah, and I don't know if the meaning of it in Uruguayan is different. I can't possibly give excuses for it, you know, when... you know, there isn't an excuse for it. So it's a shame. He'll likely, if they treat it the same as they did the Bernardo Silva thing, he stands to get banned for a couple of games and maybe a fine or something. I don't know. But nevertheless, Bruno remains the best option from United. I wouldn't go with anybody else still at the moment until we get a bit more consistency. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. I mean, Manchester United have been in great form, to be fair, but do you reckon Cavani didn't start, did he?
Came on at half-time.
Do you reckon if he doesn't get suspended, he'd be in the starting lineup?
He certainly deserves to be, but I just think that Ollie's managing his minutes just because of his age and because of, you know, we've got good squad depth at the moment. I think... it would be a bit of a risk to put him in your FPL team. He'd be great on like a free hit or something like that. If you know he's going to start.
It's a lot of money as well, isn't he? So
it's 8 million, which is, you know, it's even more than Calvert-Lewin. And for assuredness of starts, you're probably going to go for someone like that, aren't you, over Cavani? At the moment, anyway, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, definitely.
But I must admit, I mean, Jason, who was on a few weeks ago, has always said that Martial's better position is a winger rather than a striker. And I think Martial has got a future as a number nine at United, but he lacks that killer instinct that Cavani showed for those two goals. I mean, they were so good the way he came in and headed those in.
Absolutely. Should we talk about what we're going to talk about?
Yes.
Okay, so on the menu today, we're going to talk a little bit about Manchester City and their thumping result against Burnley. Poor Burnley. They always get absolutely spanked by Manchester City.
Is it the third or fourth time they've lost 5-0 to them?
It's ridiculous. It's something like that. You've got to feel sorry for them. And I mean, I know they've had injuries because Pope was out and, you know, he could have made a difference, but... I just don't get it. Every team has one of those teams that they just don't perform against, and poor Burnley always seems to be Manchester City, absolutely turn them over. So we'll talk about Manchester City and whether that's a sign that they're back, and we're also going to have a bit more of a chat about the breaking news this evening about the Newcastle Villa game getting suspended, because the rumour is that 10 players in the Newcastle camp have been diagnosed with COVID-19. And their game has now been suspended against Aston Villa. So that's a bit of a spanner in the works if you've got loads of Villa players and loads of Newcastle players in your team.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm here to make your game week feel better. God's sake.
So let's talk about Manchester City first. I'm... not sure that Manchester City are back. I think it might just be one of those things that it was Burnley, and Burnley are always rolled over by Manchester City. You're looking at me with a kind of look of disdain. You're not so sure.
No,
do you think Manchester City are back?
No, not at all. I was just like staring off into space for a moment there, I think. I didn't mean to look disdainful.
It feels like a sleepy episode after a tough game week.
It is a little bit. Yeah, I was up early this morning. I think you're right. It's like you can't judge it on just the one game, but City did look pretty good. They looked really, really good. I mean, it could have been 7-8-9. It was one of those matches where City really turn it on and they didn't really let up. Mahrez, of course, got his hat-trick. Mahrez, such an enigma,
like, isn't he? He's the FPL enigma.
Crazy FPL asset, isn't he? Like, you know, I think just having him in your team is just... it would just be silly to have him in, but then he produces stuff like that. And again, he's somebody that on a free hit, or if you've only got like a couple of weeks on a wild card or something like that, he'd be like perfect to get in because massive differential. And if he performs... you know, you quids in, but I think I don't know. I don't.
I mean, the perfect example is going to be this weekend coming, because Fulham and Burnley, they're down there in the same kind of position there or thereabouts. So in theory, Manchester City. They're at home again as well. So they should just be able to turn over Fulham just like they did Burnley. So
yeah, and I think they probably will. I mean, I'm very, very happy I've got De Bruyne.
I'm going to bring him in, I think.
I won't be going for anybody else, I don't think, but I'm very happy I've got De Bruyne. I know quite a few have brought in Diaz. Mm. I know a lot brought in Cancelo, but of course he was benched. Foden was benched again. Sterling was benched. Mental. You can't rely on these. You can't rely on them to play. You just cannot rely on them to play. So that's why I haven't gone with a City defender.
That Torres keeps seem he's starting a lot, isn't he?
Yeah, but again,
he got his name on the score sheet.
Yeah, but he'll be benched again. There's no doubt he's not going to get starts like all the time. Again, you just got to know that if you put someone like that in, chances are. I mean, look at the people that have had Foden. I think he's been benched 5 game weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's mental.
I mean, that is horrible, isn't it, for Foden owners? But again, you've got to know the risk, and the safest pick is Kevin De Bruyne. I prefer Sterling as an FPL pick, but thank God I put De Bruyne in instead of him, because and the only reason was because Sterling was carrying a slight injury that I put De Bruyne in. Otherwise, I'd have gone for Sterling. So again, like, there's a little bit of luck involved there, isn't it? I've gone for De Bruyne. It's worked out. But De Bruyne is the safer pick. Do you think that, Ben? Think he's safer?
Well, yeah. Remember right at the start of the season, I said that I wasn't going to have any Man City players in. And the only one I would consider is Kevin De Bruyne. I'm still sticking with it. Just before we move on from City, do need to say, because, you know, we are called Triple Captain. I therefore like to keep a little eye out for little Triple Captain stories that appear in the community or whatever. Huge congratulations to FPL Doodles, who did our picture.
Oh, yeah.
Our little cartoon picture, who did put the Triple Captain's armband on Mahrez.
You what?
Week.
No.
63 points.
That, yeah. What? 63 what? Points.
63 points.
Oh, God. And so here
well
I am
done.
Begging for
well
Balboina.
Well done, FPL Doodles. Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm slow clapping. I mean, what a decision to start with. I mean, that is, he's got some balls to do that.
But where is he in the... Is he in our league? Is he in the Triple Captain Fantasy League?
No, I don't know.
I want to know where he is, because I always notice that the people who get these like highest week ranks are always like 2.5 millionth in the world or something like that, and have got 3 Sheffield United defenders, but they've just smashed it with a Triple Captain for one weekend.
If it's FPL Doodles, I'd imagine he knows what he's doing, and it was probably quite a considered decision. Wow, fair play. I mean, that is brilliant. But the thing is, we spoke about this the other week, didn't we, Rich? I think you actually reminded me to do it. And when you were talking about head-to-head records and looking at previous games, and that's exactly what I did, just to confirm that De Bruyne was the right captain choice this week. And I saw those previous City-Burnley results and City turned them over every single time. I was like, it has to be. I can't overthink this. It has to be De Bruyne. And it came off, and really, he was unlucky. He hit the inside of the post as well. That would have been an extra 10 points with captaincy. He laid it on a plate for Jesus. To be fair, that was the one that Peacock Farrell, it would have been an own goal by Peacock Farrell, but then it changed. So, but I think De Bruyne was unlucky not to score more, and he looks on it. So I would definitely say for the next few fixtures, I'm very happy with De Bruyne, and I think I'm going to wait on Salah. I don't think I'm going to rip up my team just yet to bring him in. Just because I've got De Bruyne and Fernandes and Kane, I don't really want to take any of them out.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, I've still got Son in my squad, and I'm thinking, I think now might be the time to take him out of the team. I mean, he's not really delivered. I mean, Tottenham are doing quite well in the league, but they haven't looked unbelievable. I mean, he did well against Manchester City, but he blanked a few weeks before that, and then this game week as well, and I've got the money in the bank to upgrade to either Salah or De Bruyne. And I think
the problem
it's probably
with
got to
Son
be De Bruyne.
Is that the problem with Son is that he punishes you, doesn't he, every time you get rid of him. That's the problem. But then I'm looking at Spurs' fixtures, and they've got Arsenal next, Crystal Palace away, then Liverpool away. And obviously fans are starting to come back now, aren't they? So we can maybe give a little bit of consideration to these away fixtures. There won't be any fans in Anfield, I don't think, because they're... Oh, no, there will be fans
there will
in Anfield,
be.
Won't there? Because we're tier two.
Yeah.
Leicester, I say we're, that's because I live in Liverpool. It's not because I'm a Liverpool fan. Then they've got Leicester. Then
very
they've
clear.
Got make that abundantly clear. Then they've got Leicester, and then they've got Wolves. I mean, that's a really tough five fixtures. But then you want Son back for game week 16, where they've got Fulham, Leeds, Villa, Sheffield United, Liverpool, then Brighton. I mean, that is a run that you want Son back for. So I wouldn't be against getting rid of him.
It's tough because the big issue.
Turn Arsenal over.
Yeah, they really could, because I mean Arsenal. Oh, by the way, did you see the clip of Rob Holding on Twitter? Because obviously they're picking up everything.
Oh, yeah.
In the crowd. So I think it was Traore went down for a real soft free kick under Rob Holding, and Rob Holding furiously grabs the ball, throws it down to the ground, and goes, "Why does he go down so easy? He's built like a brick shit house." And it gets picked up on the microphones around the side of the pitch. I'm all for that. I'm going to be gutted when fans come back, because we're going to miss that. So yeah, coming off the back of that, let's talk about fans potentially coming back to the stadium. It's not going to be happening anytime at Newcastle, by the sound of things. 10 players out through COVID. I mean, we're only saying this, that there's 10 players out, because we've heard it of a rumour of Ben's friend who happens to live in Newcastle. And it's the word on the grapevine. But the game has been suspended because of plenty of players having COVID-19. Ben, have you got Triple Villa?
I do. I mean, although Ross Barkley's currently out, I've got Martinez, Ezri Konsa, Ifeagole. You know what? Just going back to Villa again. Sorry, I won't bang on about it for long. But we should have had another penalty. But Ollie Watkins missing the pen again. Like, honestly, I really want to see him put Konsa on there. He has got an Ifeagole.
Maybe if he heads it.
Imagine. He's got a boot on him.
Surely Grealish will be back on pens now, won't he?
I think he's got to. I think he's given Watkins too many chances now. Like, they show the kind of little heat map before someone steps up. Like, there's a lot of red on Ollie Watkins' heat map.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Newcastle, it could be two games. You just don't know, do you? Mm. I mean, at some point, can they just go, well, we'll have to put the kids out? Like, or can they just keep postponing?
Depends, doesn't it? I mean, I think they're doing more tests tomorrow. So obviously, if certain tests come back negative, then the game might be rearranged for like midweek next week, which would mean that it would still come under the same game week. So, I mean, we shouldn't really have to drum this into people, but particularly this season, wait to make your transfers. I've already seen people saying, I've already brought Wilson in for this game week. I've already made my moves. Now I've got to take hits and all that. You have to wait because of this. I mean, you should wait anyway, really, for press conferences because of injuries. Yeah. But I mean, what's your strategy going to be? Who have you got, Rich? What's your strategy going to be if the game is postponed?
Well,
a different game week.
Well, it's difficult because I've got Grealish and Martinez. I haven't got any Newcastle players. I've got one free transfer. I really don't want to take a -4. Before this all happened, I was only going to do one transfer, and I was going to bring in De Bruyne for Son, and that would have been a nice, straightforward transfer. But now, I'm really not sure. I like what you said before about Martinez. You're not so sure on Martinez. Now could be the chance for me to bring in, what's his name at West Ham?
Fabianski.
Now could be the opportunity to bring him in and make the transfer over to him.
Problem is they've got United next.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing. But then,
which isn't ideal. But then obviously you're looking at it long term.
Yeah, but also this game week I won't have. I mean, Peacock Farrell might play for Burnley, maybe. But you know, he's just been absolutely turned over by Manchester City for Burnley. God, I've just seen Everton at the 12:30 kickoff. I'm so sick of being the early kickoff on Saturdays. It ruins your weekend when we lose the early kickoff on a Saturday. It's an absolute nightmare.
All right, Klopp.
God, his rant was brilliant, wasn't it?
that interview was incredible. Yeah, I'm thinking, Burnley Everton.
It's so hard.
I've got Martinez as well, and I haven't. We all know about my sub keeper Nieland, so I haven't got anybody to come in. So I'll have to move Martinez out if if that game is off, which is annoying, isn't it?
It is off. It's cool. They've done it. They've,
I mean, if it's rescheduled, if it's not rescheduled for this game week, as in, because it potentially could be rescheduled for like next Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
You know? Unlikely, but we'll see. So yeah, it's making that decision, isn't it? I mean, West Brom have got Palace at home. Maybe Johnston could be an option.
He's having a great few weeks.
He's doing well.
He's a cracking little keeper, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? It's not just Villa you got to think about here. Like, you know, Villa, at least they're still training. You know, in terms of a team, suddenly, if your training ground closes down, all these guys are at home. They had a lovely little run coming up. They had West Brom, Leeds and Fulham, Newcastle. You know, getting back into... If you know, these are professional athletes that... literally schedule every single part of their day, and suddenly they've been told, right, out the blue, stop it. Like, they can't just come back in and you can't expect Wilson to be playing at the pace he has been.
No, not at the Premier League level, absolutely not.
And they obviously can't put 11 players out, because the rule is, if you can put 11 players out with three subs, you have to play. That's the Corona rule. So they obviously can't put 11 players out and three subs, which is worrying.
So I think, is it Premier League? Is
it the league have made special dispensation or whatever?
Is it you have a 25-man squad for the Premier League?
I think so. I don't know.
So obviously they'll have players out through injury already. Let's say that's three. And then, yeah, I guess the 10 on top of that immediately just wipes them out of the game. I mean, they could bring academy players in, but then in theory, the academy players, I don't know if it's like that Newcastle's training ground, but at Everton, the academy players train in the same building as the senior pros do, so it could cross-contaminate down to different age groups as well.
Just on that, quickly, as it links, we had a question on Twitter from Daniel Mazdam at Daniel98. Fill in the blank. You've got to take a free hit this week if you have blank Newcastle or Villa players. So how many Newcastle or Villa players would it take for you to do a free hit this week?
I'd say... if I had three, I think because I've got I wouldn't mind taking a minus four. It's not the worst thing in the world, but if I had to take a minus eight, then that's too much. I'd probably do the free hit then.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a lot. It would take an absolute disaster for me to use a free hit on a single game week like this without, you know, waiting for news of other stuff. So I'd have to have six. I'd have to have three Newcastle and three Villa and... not, you know, if it meant, I'm like you, yeah, if it meant taking a minus, I'd probably maybe stretch to a minus eight, but I wouldn't do minus 12.
No, minus 12, those words alone.
I've already seen people on Twitter that have taken a minus 12.
What?
I mean, it's mad.
It's a difficult one, because I think it might have to be Martinez who gets the cut, and Son clings on for another day. God's sake, so sick of him and my team. But yeah.
I don't know, Rich, if you get news that Peacock Farrell's going to play for Burnley, then save it. So bench Martinez and play Peacock Farrell. You know, chances are he might get two, or, you know, who knows? Burnley might keep a mental clean sheet. You never know.
Yeah, just, they might just, do. Just
burning a transfer on a goalkeeper is just never fun, is it?
It's boring. It's admin.
Yeah, you don't want to have to do it. You do not want to have to do it.
Yeah, it's like when you've done the job and then you have to do all the fucking paperwork for your invoice sort of shit afterwards. That's what it is.
Should we talk captaincy? As we missed it out last week, we've got a dedicated talking point about captains this week. Obviously, it's so important to get it right, isn't it? Let's talk through our process for picking a captain. Is it a structured, detailed process that you go through, or do you just go on gut instinct? Do you favour form over fixtures? What do you go for when you're picking a captain, Rich?
You know what? Considering I put quite a lot of thought into players' form, players' record against previous teams and that sort of thing, captaincy genuinely does tend to come down more to gut feeling than research, which I don't think I'll be alone on that, because I think it's something you should probably put a lot more research in, because the captaincy is so important. Like, I just put it on Kane at the weekend because I thought there'd be goals in the Tottenham-Chelsea game. That was genuinely the reason why I put it on. I didn't put any research into, you know, the goal-scoring record. Well, I think I looked it up and he had an okay record against Chelsea. And obviously, banged the last 7 weeks on the bounce. So there's some justification to it, but you know, I could have easily gone for Fernandes against Southampton because he's in great form as well. But it, I think it genuinely does come down for to gut feeling for me. I imagine you're the exact opposite.
I very rarely go with just gut feeling, but gut feeling has a big part to play. And actually this season it's been, I've thought less about captaincy choice this season than I have in previous seasons. In previous, it depends. If there's not, if there isn't a standout option, I'll then maybe go to stats. Yeah. So I'll look at head-to-head record, like I did this week with De Bruyne. I suppose De Bruyne was a standout option, but I just wanted to check that City had done well against Burnley in previous game weeks.
Yeah,
previous games. Once I saw their record, I knew I was captaining De Bruyne. If there's like a few options, I'll tend to look at head-to-head record. Say if Mo Salah has a record of scoring against Aston Villa every time Liverpool play, I'll think, okay, cool. Salah likes a goal against Villa. It's a pretty easy option there. If there isn't any standouts from that, I'll maybe look at Fantasy Football Scout at, you know, the stats that I've spoken about before, like shots per game, shots in the box. If there's an option that looks like they've got good stats and they're perhaps not, they haven't been producing the returns, so they look like they're about to bang. Like I did with Antonio against, I didn't captain Antonio against Norwich. What am I talking about? But I put Antonio in ahead of that four goal thing last season because I saw that his stats really stood out. But I didn't captain him. I'm not going to claim.
No, what a shout that would have been, Jesus.
I know. And some people did. Yeah, also, I think targeting those lower teams,
yeah,
always tends to work well. You know, Fernandes definitely against West Brom, despite the kind of, you know, penalty and stuff. De Bruyne against Fulham. And again, this week, De Bruyne just stands out because City are playing Fulham.
Yeah.
You can't, I just think there's no point looking too much into that. It's like low team, high premium. And I tend to go for the safe options as well. I tend to go for the premium picks that deliver week in and week out. I mean, I'll just have a little look at...
It makes sense, though, to do that, doesn't it? I mean, before this game week started, I was messaging the chat, wasn't I, saying, I'm thinking of captaining Robertson this weekend. And it was so close to being a great decision. So close.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you should be going with your Harry Kane, your De Bruyne, your Fernandes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've gone for. That's my strategy so far this season. And I think I've only had the one captain blank, which obviously makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, Salah.
It's too big a difference.
Salah, De Bruyne.
Bloody get rid of it. Honestly, hate it. It's too big a difference. It's too big a difference. It's just, you get it wrong and it ruins your whole weekend. Like, I captain Vardy versus Fulham. Yeah, okay, and he got an assist. But Jamie Vardy should be scoring a hat-trick against Fulham. I'm sorry. You know, I captain Salah versus Sheffield United. Got 2 points, I think, that game.
I think
week five or six.
I think you need to have a word with the players themselves rather than the people who make FPL. So your issue seems to be with Jamie Vardy not scoring a hat-trick.
Captain's armband is on Vardy again for the game against Sheffield United.
Surely
he's going to score against Sheffield United. Come on.
I'd have a look at his history.
I'd prefer, have a look at Vardy's history. Have a look at how many goals Sheffield United are actually conceding each game week. Because I don't think it's a lot. I don't know if Vardy's the best option. I'd be tempted to go Kane against Arsenal. Kane loves a goal against Arsenal. To be honest, I've just had a look as well, and I tend to favour midfielders. Out of the 10 game weeks, I've captained a midfielder 9 times, and I've captained Kane once.
Yeah, the return's usually greater, isn't it?
Yeah, they get those extra points. And come the end of the season, it tends to be midfielders that are top. Although Kane is proving that wrong this season.
So there we go then, the end of yet another superb episode of Triple Captain, if I do say so myself. I've done this whole episode in bed. It's been absolutely brilliant. So comfortable. So yeah, I guess all we've got left to say is, who are your captaining, chaps?
I'm going to be going for Kevin De Bruyne against Fulham for the second week in a row.
Good shout. What are you thinking, Ben?
I don't know now.
Oh.
What's Vardy? Maybe Kane. James Justin. I'm
going to
captain.
Go for it. Hopefully that delivers for you.
What about you, Rich?
If I bring in De Bruyne for Son, I'd probably captain De Bruyne. If I don't, I'll probably captain Fernandes of Manchester United. Just because
we're playing West Ham.
West Ham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fernandes, he just keeps delivering. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Just very, very quickly, boys, just because we got, I want to make sure we answer Twitter questions. Just to give a quick answer. James Priestley, friend of the pod at JP Navarra, asks, hi, mate, given all of the must haves in midfield, KDB, Bruno, Grealish, Son, Salah, etc., who is the least must have? Do we need to rotate premium assets by fixture? You could also frame this as, how on earth do I get Salah back in my team? Right, so who out of all the premiums, all these must-have midfielders and possibly you can include strikers, who is the least
must-have?
Yeah.
I'd say Son, just because he only really delivers, on average, like one in every three or four games, I'd say.
Yeah, I think I would say Son as well at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get Salah back in your team? I mean, yeah, tricky. I think there are ways to fit, say, a midfield of KDB, Bruno, Salah and Grealish. But you will have to make allowances elsewhere. You'd have to get rid of Harry Kane, perhaps, if you've got Kane. Or, you know, get rid of a premium elsewhere. You can only really have a maximum of three, possibly four premiums an absolute push, but really three is the maximum of, you know, the 10.5 million plus, I would say.
Cool. So yeah, remember you can ask us any questions at Triple Captain Free on Twitter, and we're on Instagram as well. We always put our teams on there before the deadline window closes. So there we go then. Best of luck, everybody. Match day 11.
Best of luck. Come on, Ben. Green arrow time.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost 3 pounds this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost 3 pounds this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone four.
I have also lost 3 pounds this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am 1 pound down this week.
All
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all
full
lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a that's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.